You can't spend very much time in the Pentateuch without coming into contact with the towering character of Moses, the man of God. We know that his godly parents protected him from the wrath of Pharaoh, and when they were told that the little boys were to be thrown in the river, his mother decided to comply, but first she said, "I'll put him into a little ark, and that'll keep him safe." And that's how he got the name Drawn Out. Moses means drawn out, because he was taken out by Pharaoh's daughter. We read that Moses is unique in several very important ways, and I thought I might just outline for you some of these remarkable characteristics of this man. Number one, Moses lays the foundation for the Old Testament scriptures. The first five books of the Bible written by Moses are the Pentateuch, the Torah, and it's here that actually God gives the law. And the Bible tells us that God made the first set of commandments, which Moses broke because the people had broken them, and Moses actually scripted that second table of stone that was placed into the Ark of God. We also read that Moses was the only Old Testament prophet who spoke face to face with God. Just an amazing thing. No visions, no dreams, but actual verbal communication between himself and the Lord. The only one in the Old Testament who did this. We also discover that God allowed him to be the Old Testament type of the Lord Jesus, the deliverer, the one who would bring us out of a worse slavery than Egypt and from a more powerful enemy than Pharaoh. In fact, the Bible tells us that Moses is one of only two men who's brought back from the other side of the grave to meet with the Lord Jesus on Transfiguration Mountain. And the purpose there, says Peter, was to speak of his exodus. That's the Greek word that's used there. As the Lord Jesus faces his great battle, as the Passover lamb, he's going to win the victory at Calvary. And Moses, who did such a good job of encouraging Joshua in going into the land and winning the victory for Israel, is brought back to encourage the other Joshua. You remember that's the meaning of the name of the Lord Jesus. In fact, it was Moses who came up with the name of the Lord Jesus. He had this young understudy named Oshea, which means salvation, and maybe he was concerned that this man, as he led the children of Israel to victory in the land of Canaan, they might begin to think of him as their salvation. And so perhaps as a safeguard, he added the little prefix, Jehoshua, Jehovah is salvation. And that's the name translated into Greek, Jesus, given to our blessed Lord, the Savior of the world. Now, part of that wonderful experience on Mount Sinai was that Moses was given a scale model of heaven, what the Bible calls a figure of the true tabernacle in heaven itself. And it's no surprising thing that when we get to the book of the Revelation, John's tour of heaven finds many of these in a much grander way, the details of the furniture in the tabernacle now in heaven. Instead of a laver, there is a glass sea. Instead of the mercy seat, there is the throne of God. There are candelabras. There is the golden censer. And you watch for the details. One of the only things that's not there is the veil, because that was taken away at Calvary. There's no veil left between us and God anymore. And then Moses was given the privilege of constructing one stanza, writing one stanza of the theme song of heaven. We read they sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. You remember that Moses and the children of Israel sang that glorious song as they came over the Red Sea, and they sang that the horse and the rider have been cast into the sea. The Lord has done gloriously, and the victory that we will enjoy will be shared by Moses in a coming day in heaven. Moses is called the meekest man in all the earth. But sadly, He's remembered for the one time he lost his temper, bearing up with those complaining Israelites for 40 years in the desert. Just once is it recorded he lost his temper, and for that reason was not allowed to lead the children of Israel in. How grateful we are that this man Moses was looking off to Jesus. He was willing to turn his back on the treasures of Egypt in order to gain the reproaches of Christ. But the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus never lost his temper. He was perfect in every way, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And we can learn from him. He says, "Come into my school and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls." I find it so ironic that this meek man turned his back on the glories of that land, didn't want to be named after Pharaoh's daughter, rejected any position or glory that Egypt might offer. And yet, when you go to the land of Egypt, you see everywhere the pharaohs have carved their names in marble and gold, constantly trying to be remembered for posterity's sake. But the fact is that nobody knows the pharaoh in the days of Joseph. Nobody knows the pharaoh of the Exodus. Everybody knows Moses. And so if you want to be forgotten, you live for yourself in your own glory. If you want to leave a mark, you live for God like Moses did. And you'll find out that it's worth it to turn your back on this world, suffering the reproach of Christ, and discovering, as the scripture says, that instead of enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, you can receive the recompense of the reward in a day to come along with Moses.